Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. In this episode, our guest is Ros Barton of MatchMothers.org. Hi, Ros.
Hello. Nice to speak to you.
So I'm very keen to hear about your organisation. Can you tell us a bit about it, please?
Of course. Right. Well, Match Mothers began in 1979. A lady called Peggy England was the lady that started it all off. She was very high up in the stock exchange in London, and she had a very good job. Because of that, and she had a good income, her husband became the stay-at-home father, and he brought up the two boys that they had that were then aged 5 and 6, actually. And she brought them up. He brought them up at home, and she went to work every day. And then one day he said to her, he was American. And one day he said to her, well, I know what, I've got a good idea. Why don't I take the boys home to see their grandma and granddad, my mum and dad, and we have a holiday. And then I'll obviously see you again, say 2 weeks later. And she thought that was a very good idea. So she just agreed to doing it. And off they went to America.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they never came back. They wouldn't come back. She went out there herself. They wouldn't come back. She said she'd take him to court. Courts in America sided with him having the children, and therefore she couldn't bring them back. And she had her job to come back to, which was very important to her. So she came back to the UK. After about 6 months, she wrote a letter in the Guardian newspaper, and the letter was really stating her situation and how unfortunate it was that she couldn't see her boys and how desperately sad she was. And she asked in the letter if there was anybody else that was missing their children. She had 100 replies in letters to the Guardian in response to her own letter. And she decided to set up a charity, or not a charity, an organisation to help everybody so they could all meet and they could all work together and try and sort their situations out.
Yeah.
It went on for a while, and then it got bigger and bigger, the group, and she spread it. It started off with just people around London that were interested, but then it spread to the whole of the UK. And this went on for many years. And then in 2006, the charity, which was backed by a few other sort of strong people, strong mothers, decided to make it into a charity, which they did in 2006. And that has gone on ever since. And I myself joined in the year 2000. As a member, I joined to get some help, and I then went on through 10 very difficult years trying to get my children back.
Mm.
My situation was pretty horrific, but I mean, I managed to get through it. Luckily, I had very good support from my parents and my family, and they basically kept me strong and kept me strong to fight it. And then in 2010, it must have been, or 2012, I actually got contact back with my children, and I've got great contact with them now. They're obviously a lot older. They are 26, 24 and 23 now, and we have great contact with them, which is fantastic. But the charity is what helped me to stay strong through those 10 difficult years. And now, once I'd repaid, they'd obviously given me that help, I wanted to repay them. So I've started to work with the Match Mothers, and now I'm the secretary of the organisation.
That's great. And what happened to the lady who started the charity? Did she ever get in contact with her children again?
We have tried to contact her. She's just disappeared. Okay. We have no idea. We've really tried to find her and trace what's happened to her. We have got no idea.
It's over 40 years ago, isn't it now?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. It's just too long now. She has just disappeared. She's obviously not still in the stock exchange anymore. Whether she's in America with her boys, with what's happened, I don't know. As I say, 40 years is a long time.
Yes, well, hopefully, I mean, best wishes to her. I mean, going back to 1980 and putting adverts in newspapers, obviously,
yeah,
you know, these days there's social media and you can quickly reach people around the world. But back then, it must have been very difficult to meet people or just find other people in the same position to give sort of mutual support.
Exactly. I mean, the number of... We've had looked, traced through all our records, and over the years, there's been 7,000 mums joined our charity.
Mm.
So that's a lot of mums that we've helped. Obviously, at the start, when I joined, actually, back in 2000, you just got letters sent to you every month. You got a letter sent to you with updates and people's stories and things like this. But obviously, now it's much more advanced because we have a Facebook closed Facebook page.
Yeah.
For mums to get onto, only match mothers can go to, and they can talk to each other and they can give each other support and they can ask questions and what other people did in situations. And that has been a real help to the mothers that we have now. It's much more advanced now than it was all those years ago.
Yeah. I mean, social media is something I'm very conscious of, because when you're being targeted, it's very, you know, there's lots of groups on Facebook, but you do worry about speaking or posting, because it can be seen by the person who's targeting you and their accomplices. So you take steps to close that group off to protect the mothers, do you?
That's right. It's a closed Facebook group. Only match mothers can get onto it.
Yeah.
It has to be, they can go, there's three mothers that actually help us organise that sort of side of the business.
Yeah.
And it's very well done, but there is the final check has to be, after I've done all the checks that the mother is, I mean, obviously legitimate, really, I suppose, and then we final check is with myself, and then they get onto the Facebook group. That is one of the strengths, really, of us, that we can keep this totally private.
Yes.
And mothers only want to talk to other mothers that are in the same situation.
Yeah, no, that's very important. Great to hear that.
Yeah.
It's funny. One of the aspects I've found on my journey is that people don't really appreciate how many men get domestically abused. Many people think it's mainly women. Well, it is probably mainly women, but they tend to only think of women. But similarly, with alienation, I think a lot of people think it only happens to men. And it's perhaps because of, you know, old-fashioned stereotypes. But I guess your organization is helping to bring awareness, you know, that there are a lot of mothers who are affected. I mean, you said 7,000. It just shows how big the problem is, you know, and it doesn't just happen to men.
That's right. And also there's a problem with us as well, is there's a big stigma that if you see a mother without her children, and you know that she did have children once and now suddenly they've disappeared.
Yes.
Wondering, you know, there's something wrong with her. Obviously, there's a really big problem with her. So we are fighting a stigma as well, which is really horrible, because just general public don't understand, which is why you've got the being able to talk to other mums in the same situation is so important.
Yeah, I mean, that is, again, similar to how men are treated when they're being abused, because there just isn't the support network. And it's really important that there are groups like yourself to support mothers in this situation.
Yeah.
As you say, society, just the average person on the street will... It may almost be a case of, what has she done to lose her children? And you know, it's just not how it is for a lot of us, is it?
That's right. I mean, I worked in a school, so that was my job. And obviously there were a lot of people around.
Yeah.
But I'd say in the whole school, I think just only four people I actually told the real truth to. Because it's so long, it's such a detailed story. When you try to tell them, you really need to make sure you tell the right people. Because if you don't tell the right people, they don't listen to the exact situation, understand, then they get the complete wrong, and then they'll spread rumours around about you, and it's just horrendous.
Yes.
So you have to be very careful who you tell, very much.
Yeah. So you've got is most of the support given through the Facebook group now? Well, I understand you've also got a helpline. Is that a major part of it too?
It's a huge part of it now. We started it in 2017, and we have obviously held it strong. It's Monday to Friday that the phone line is open. We take on mothers. They go through a two-hour training before they can take the calls, just to make sure they get things right, they don't say the wrong things, and don't upset the mothers when they're talking to them. But it's very important that we're there, and actually the phone line is fantastic. I mean, I was doing the calls this morning, and I had two new ladies that had never spoken to us before. But luckily, we've got the number around. We've managed to get certain people, like the NSPCC, know the number, the Family Lives gave the number, the police know our number, and CMS know our number. So when they're talking to mothers and they sound distressed, they straight away give them our number so that they can speak to someone who understands, which is so important.
Yeah.
And it's been a real help all along. Plus, we have a lot of signposting for when they come through and they've got certain situations, we can signpost them to other organisations and to the right phone number so they can speak to the right people.
Yeah.
And a legal team as well, which really helps them, because a lot of them do need legal help.
Yes.
And it's nice to speak to someone who knows what to do, how to answer, sort of sort their situations out in legal terms.
Yeah, no, it's just navigating, you know, if you're representing yourself or even if you're not, it's incredibly intimidating to start court proceedings, and just any help and advice you can get from somebody who's been through it is invaluable, really.
Yeah, that's right. And also, I mean, when it happens to you, you think the world's just has opened up and swallowed you, you know, you've just fallen into a big pit.
Yeah.
But you haven't. There is hope and there is the positives at the end, which we know about, including myself. I mean, I've got my three children in contact with them now, and it's fantastic.
Yes.
So you've just got to get through it. It's just how to get through it, really. And looking after yourself is one of the most important things that we tell people. Don't give up and don't think of doing something silly, because you're only going to make yourself, well, losing you, and obviously they're losing you.
Yeah.
But you are such an important part, and fathers are as well. They are such an important part, that child will need you. It may not be right now, and they can't see the way through at the moment, but there will be a time when those children will really need you, and you have to be there for them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in the darkest moments, it can be very hard to stay focused on that. But again, having a number to call, or somebody, a friend who's been through it, or a Facebook group, can make all the difference between life and death, I think.
Yes, you're right. And face-to-face meetings, we hold two national meetings every year. There's one in June in London, and one in November is in Leeds up in the north.
Yeah.
And it's lovely because the mums turn up, and although they don't know anybody when they walk into that room, by the end of the day, they're best friends and they just stay really close, and it's lovely. It's really nice to actually meet a mum face-to-face. And obviously, through the pandemic, these things didn't happen, but we kept strong and we were very, very busy on the phone lines over that period. But it was worth them hanging on, because they've now got to see these friends they've made, and they're actually face-to-face.
A lot of abusive parents took advantage of the pandemic to break contact as well. So that, you know, if you're an alienated parent, I think that was a particularly bad time for some.
Yes, it was. Luckily, we deal a lot with the NACCC, the Child Contact Centres National Organisation. They stayed open through the whole pandemic, bless them.
Yeah.
And we made sure that the mothers who may not have used the contact centre before to see their children, but when they knew these contact centres were open and they were properly organised and very well sort of regulated, they were able to see their children through that, which was a brilliant thing to have, definitely.
No, that's fantastic. Do Match Mothers, do you have anything to do with trying to reform the legal system at all? Because obviously that is the root of all of our problems, isn't it?
It is the root, yes, definitely. We've got, because of that, I mean, I'm now part of Recover Our Kids, which is an organisation just purely to get parental alienation sort of sorted, really, and actually, you know, more publicly aware across the country. And so I'm part of that as well. But I also go to meetings with the CAFCAS, which are, again, another problem. Social workers are another problem. And we try to have meetings with all these organisations to make sure they know what mothers are going through and see if they can understand our situation.
So. Yes. All of these bodies, social workers and CAFCAS and, you know, courts, there are good people in there. There are just a lot of people who are not so good. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
it's a system, and it's bad in every system.
I mean, we had meetings with them. This is obviously before the pandemic.
Yeah,
we had meetings once every 3 months. We had a meeting. I went to London and met up with the lady who was running it. But now, of course, it's this other lady that's taken over.
Mm.
And she's very good. I mean, they've brought in lots of things in CAFCAS, which have been brilliant. I like the way they deal with the young people's board they have, which means the young people who have been through the system as a child and have now got to an age when they feel like they can speak up. And they've actually organized an organization, and they speak continually to CAFCAS, and they express their views.
Mm.
And we are in direct link with them, and they can pass on, obviously, the mothers that tell us about the children's situation. And we have some mothers' children that are part of the young people's board, which is very good.
Yeah.
They're actually with CAFCAS direct, which is important.
So you're not part of CAFCAS. You are in contact with them to try and highlight alienation.
Yeah, I'm part of their board, which is very nice, because I actually do get to hear what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting, because recently they rewrote their policy. And they sent us through their policy, which is what their aims are, really. And They sent it through and they'd made a mistake about how they deal with complaints. Now, a lot of our mothers do make complaints to CAFCAS when they get things wrong, which happens a lot. And so the way they were dealing with it was wrong. And we could see that. But they sent through this policy and there was just one line and it was so badly written. So I straight away picked up on it and I sent the person who deals with the policy and said, told them that there was an error. And I asked them to change it. And they did. Bless them, they did. They changed it in their policy, which was fantastic. Because basically, when people complained, it said in this policy that they were listening to the people, but they're listening to the complaints, obviously, but they weren't dealing with them directly. And I said, well, what do you mean you weren't dealing with them directly? How else do you deal with them if you don't deal with them directly?
Yes.
And they said, oh, yeah, we've done that wrong, haven't we? I said, well, yes, because that's important because those mothers need to speak to someone directly and sort their situation out. You can't not deal with them when they've complained. And they yes. realised that and they've actually corrected that. So hopefully their complaint situation is now a bit better than it was because their complaints weren't being dealt with properly at all.
It's good to hear that they're at least being receptive and taking on board good advice.
It's good to know that they actually did something. Yeah, when I did complain, I mean, I got many emails back from them and apologies. They said, can you rewrite it for us how you want it? And then I did that and said, well, we'll now put it in our words. I thought, no, that's where you went wrong before.
Yeah.
So, but eventually after three or four emails, backwards and forwards, we finally got the wording right. So it was good that they actually listened to me. So I was glad that I'd actually spoken up. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, there's hope there for CAFCAS. Hopefully they can improve and become what we hope they will be.
Yeah.
So what about the future for Match Mothers? What are the ultimate aims? Is it a sort of support and reform, or is it mainly on support? Because obviously the immediate need of people in these situations is so great. Is that the main focus of Match Mothers?
It is really. I mean, in our own constitution, our first line, I'll read it out to you, is to offer preservation and protection of good mental health for mothers apart from their children. That's it, simply. But that's our preservation being that we don't want them to be thinking like suicide attempts and all this.
Yeah.
And good mental health because they can actually strive on, they can actually get better in themselves and offer more to their children when the children do come back. And children do come back. Don't ever think it won't happen because it will one day.
Yeah.
Definitely. We're also thinking about, because again, before the pandemic, we used to have a lot of local groups around the country. Say in Plymouth, well, from Plymouth right up to Scotland, we had local groups. So the mothers, you could meet up in cafes or wherever they could meet up, really, and actually have face-to-face time. And it was so supporting to help them get through this. So we've got to get that back into state because that seems to have died. And I only had a mother this morning from Plymouth. And she said, when's your next meeting? I said, November in Leeds. And she said, oh, that's a long way away. And I said, it is for you, isn't it? And she said, I think I'd make the effort. I said, really? And just bless this mother. She's going to drive from Plymouth to Leeds for our meeting in November.
Yeah.
That's the heart. But they need local meetings. And that's what we need to get sorted, which is our main thing we're striving on at the moment to do.
Yeah. We're all used to Zoom now, but you can't, you can't beat an in-person meeting, really.
No, you can't. You're right.
Do you have aims outside of Match Mothers for the family law arena?
Being part of Recover Our Kids means that I can voice my opinions and we can hopefully get them across because we, at Recover Our Kids, we sent out, oh gosh, how many of those? There's six of us, six mums that have set this Recover Our Kids up. And during the domestic abuse bill that went through court in 2020.
Yep.
We wrote letters to every single one of the House of Lords, which was, I think we had to do 200 each.
Yes.
200 letters each. So six times two. Anyway, probably 1,200. Can work that one out. But we sent out 1,200 letters to all the MPs really as well.
Yeah.
And this was really important that we can get across to these people how important it is that the domestic abuse bill included parental alienation.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when the domestic abuse bill went through, it didn't include it. You could see it online because of this fantastic technology now. We were able to see what they said in the House of Lords. And unfortunately, although the Lady Maya. You know her? Lady Maya?
No.
She had her own personal situation, her two boys.
Sorry, yes, I do. Yes, this is the Christopher Mayer's wife, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Children were taken to Germany, weren't
they? That's right, yes. And she's written a book now, which is a fantastic book to read, actually. I don't know the title of it offhand, but yeah, she did write a lovely book. But she was the lady actually really trying to get parental alienation into the domestic abuse bill. Mm. And unfortunately, the lady at the top of the House of Lords, she said that it wasn't going to go through, and she stopped. Right, I mean, we had a lot of, obviously, because we'd written these letters to all the members of the House of Lords, we hoped there was enough people there to back us up.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it didn't make through, so it didn't get noticed. But it is a form of abuse, and we want it to be recognised, and we're still on the same sort of plan to get that through, and we will keep fighting for it, definitely.
Do you know who it was that blocked it in the House of Lords?
No, I can't think of their names, actually.
Okay.
But I'd say the lady who was the chief lady at the, in the House of Lords, she was the one who stood up in the House of Lords and said it wasn't going to be added. And I remember, you know, Lady Maya was there, and she just crumbled and sat down on her chair and put her head in her hands. And I thought,
yeah,
bless you, she was working so hard to get it through, but it didn't get through. I don't know whether there'll be another chance for it. I don't know. I think they've changed the wording now, and it's alienation behaviour.
Yeah.
So they've changed the wording. But I don't mind if they change the wording, as long as it's the same means the same thing. So that's important.
Yes.
We will keep on with this. We're not going to give up on it. I mean, we cover our kids. We are meeting every week, obviously on the Zoom, but we do meet up, and we are trying to get things sorted.
And is Recover My Kids, is that something dads can take part in as well?
I'm not sure. I mean, as I say, it was set up by six mums, being one of them. But no, not really. We've joined other charities. Now, we've joined Change for Children,
yeah,
which is actually run by Martin Cracknell.
Okay.
And he's the organiser of that. And there are lots of other charities that have joined that.
Yes.
A lot of charities, organisations, rather, that have joined. And we are hoping that through Martin Cracknell's idea of Change for Children, we can make a difference, and perhaps we can get the parental alienation recognised through his path.
No. Yeah, I think it's really good that groups are coming together. There's so many people in the same boat and striving for the same thing. You know, there's strength in numbers, obviously. So if they can come together, and it sounds like they are, I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping, that there's going to be the power. And also, everyone's got different links, different things. So it's amazing, really, what you can get from different people, and different people's strengths can be fantastic. Yeah.
Did you get very much response back from the other 1,200 lords that you wrote to?
Of the all those letters that we sent, I'd say 50 came back to us and agreed that they felt that our pledge was really important, and they would back us all the way. So out of 1,200, 50 of them came back and said, yes, they will support us.
Right. It's still not, that's not bad, 50 lords, but yeah, as a percentage, it could be.
Couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, do you have any thoughts on why alienation is just so far from the radar of most politicians and people in the media? It just doesn't seem to get the coverage that it deserves.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. We were very lucky in 2012, and that's a long time ago.
Mm.
2012, the Times newspaper read about us, and they asked us to write the journalist wrote a piece about us, which was fantastic. It was 6 pages long,
yeah,
in the Weekend magazine, which was fantastic. And that was, we've tried to contact again, and we've tried to get publicity since, but no luck at all. I don't know why alienation, because I'm in a normal road in the middle of a housing estate, really, and I'd say in my road, nobody knew about it. But now they've got friends that are involved in it as well. They've heard, you know, they've got a friend that's been alienated by their divorce. It's usually through a divorce, and the father or mother takes the option to take the child away.
Yes.
I don't know why it's not been recognised. I find it very hard to understand, but it's getting more and more publicly aware now, I think.
Mm. I think awareness is the key. Eventually, we'll get to a tipping point. Maybe it is partly because the society, people, the population aren't that aware. Maybe that then feeds through, and the MPs and lords think, well, nobody's interested. I don't know. That's one theory.
It's very hard that when judges don't understand. And I mean, I know a lot of situations, obviously, from the mothers, where the judges have completely ignored alienation at all.
Yeah.
And if the mothers or the mother's legal team stand up and say that this mother or this father is suffering from parental alienation, it seems the heckles go up on the back of the judge's neck and they think, oh, not going to talk about that. Mm. And they just completely ignore it. Mm. I don't understand that. I don't understand why they are doing that. But I don't know. It's so unfair to the children. We're only saying it because the children get the unfairness, really. Because they're not, they don't have, and every child should have contact with both parents. It's not fair to isolate them from one parent. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And good contact too, not here and there, a couple of days here, and you know, it should be a decent level, and also everything else that feeds into that, you know, having a say in decisions about the child and information regarding the child, just exclusion and restriction of any sort really is an alienating behavior, I think.
I know, like you said, they should have equal time perhaps really with the child. But no, that isn't always possible. And I mean, if I think about myself, I mean, I was brought up by my mum and dad and there was no problems there at all. And I say that, I had input from both of them, but because my father worked and he worked late and he didn't come home till late every night,
yes,
I didn't have as much input from him as my mum had.
Yeah.
So it's never equal times. But I think, I mean, and when you're given just, I know it's very hard when you have like, some mothers only have like 1 hour or 2 hours a month with their child when they're completely segregated from them.
Yes. And
it is unfair. That is definitely unfair. That's not the right amount of time at all. But I know I was able to have, when I first started getting contact again, I only had weekends. But that weekend contact was all I needed to give my children some input from what they could see what I was all about and what I wasn't the person that they had imagined from the other side,
yes,
being these negative things about me. They could see what I was really like, and we had a great relationship. It was only for weekends, but it was fantastic. I made sure it was a fantastic time on those weekends. So it's just staying in contact in any form at all is so important, and letter writing as well is important, although letter writing doesn't happen when you put it in the post anymore. It's all done by email.
Yeah.
When I was doing it, it was still letters by post, but it was very good. Yeah.
If people want to find out more about Match Mothers and Recover Our Kids, could you tell us how they can find you on social media?
Just look, if you look on the internet, obviously, and you put in matchmothers.org and you'll get our website. And then straight as soon as you go onto the website, there's a contact link to be able to contact us for whatever you want to do. Then we'll get back to you within 24 hours and tell you how we can help you and how you can contact us and get more information that they want.
Yeah.
And then Recover Our Kids is the same. You contact us and say that you're interested in what we do. Really, that's all you can do, because obviously we're the 6 months, we're still running it. But we get feedback on any inquiries that come through, any questions that come through. Again, we always reply to the question.
And it's matchmothers.org, isn't it? Just so that people are doing .com or anything.
Yeah, but actually, we're very lucky. I don't know why we've been so lucky with Google. But Google like us, and they seem to like putting, you know, when you put in you're apart from a child or anything to do with being a mother that having difficulties, we are one of the first links that you get up on Google as to who we are, which is very important. We keep that, and they are good to us. Also, there is only us in the UK. There's no other charity like us in the UK. And the thing is, in the whole world as well, we've got lots of mothers from America come to us. And a lot of mothers from Australia. Now, Australia has got another group. They're called Eeny, Meeny, Miney, Mo. So that's the Australian one. But the Australians come through to us as well. Australian mums come through to us. They actually, we'd like to come to you as well if we can. They just have enough obviously, time to be able to do the two, join both of us. And so both of us are helping each other, which is good. Yeah.
I mean, that highlights that the problems we're facing, they're very similar worldwide. There are so many countries that, you know, for whatever reason, have the same problems with their legal system.
Yes, you're right. It is throughout. I have got a lot of resources now for Mothers Apart, but for some reason, the Americans like to come to us and get our input as well and join our Facebook page, you see.
Yeah.
So they join us so they can be part of the Facebook page, which is good.
Yeah, that's great. Great. Yeah. And I guess then the mothers can support each other, even if they're not in, you know, even if they're in different countries, it's just a wider support network you've got there because of that.
Yes, of course. We've been able to stretch further and reach these mums.
Yeah.
Because their mums are all going through the same thing. It's just nice to know you're not alone. Like, I mean, when it happens to you, you look around and there's all these mums with their kids and you think, oh, I'm the only mother in the world that hasn't got a child with her. But actually, you're not.
Yeah.
And that is such a lovely message to get, that you are not on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people in America post on Facebook saying, I really need a phone call or something. They're going through a bad time.
Yeah.
And you can see immediately people around the world posting, I'll give you a call me. The support is amazing and it's worldwide. And that's good to see. We always need more support, but having that extra network of people that are around the world that we can all help each other. And also with change, I find with a lot of these, a lot of causes, change almost happens simultaneously across the world. And hopefully that will be the case here. I know in some states in America, they've now switched to, you know, presumption of 50-50 care. And again, I hope that the support around the world and people campaigning around the world and actually states changing will create a tipping point at which, you know, we can perhaps all get to a better place around the same time.
That's right. Yeah, it's like we're all under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
So we should all be getting the same information fed to us as everybody else. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And it's building that awareness, and we can do that. You know, it doesn't matter where we're from. We can, it's building it across, you know, people around the world can see a post that I do or you do. It doesn't matter where you're from. You're just building that awareness about alienation and the need for change.
Yes, that's true. We send out a newsletter, obviously by email, every month. And in that newsletter, there are details of other countries' situations and what they're doing and how we're all coping. Everyone, I'd say of the total members that we have, I'd say 95% are suffering from parental alienation.
Yeah.
And that is a huge figure to be coping with parental alienation. It's really a sad fact, and it's something we've really got to deal with. So we're trying to get the message across to everybody that, you know, there's other countries suffering the same, and this is how they're dealing with it. And hence, why aren't we dealing with it the same?
Yeah. It's been fantastic listening to you and hearing about your organisation. Have you got anything else you'd like us to know before we wrap up?
I just really want to say everyone should look after themselves. I know you can feel like you're in the worst place ever and it's the worst time of your life and obviously all these things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is only a short time you're going to go through this pain, because eventually you'll start to see ways of getting stronger and feeling better about yourself. Therefore, if you're feeling better about yourself, then hopefully your children will be able to see that and they'll respond to that. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's fantastic. You know, I need to keep that in mind as much as anyone. We all go through good days and bad days, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and there are some really bad days. I know that myself. So I've been there and done that.
Yeah.
And it's just lovely to think that there are better days ahead. There really are. There's going to be better days ahead for all of us.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a really powerful message. And obviously, coming from somebody, you know, yourself who's been through it, it's got that weight of experience and empathy. I think it's really powerful that you said that.
That is important. I mean, yeah, I've been to the bottom. I've been, been to the bottom and seen the worst. And I've thought, and luckily, as I say, luckily I've got people around. And there are always people around who can help you. And Match Mothers is another one of those people. We can really help you.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks very much, Roz. I really enjoyed our chat, and I hope that any mothers out there who need support will have benefited from this podcast and can contact you for further support.
Yes, I hope so. We are here for you, honestly, and things can get better. They really can.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thanks very much, Roz. Take care.
Billy, bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I really enjoyed talking with Roz about matchmothers.org. After the recording, I thought of another question, so I went back to her. I asked if matchmothers.org can also support other female victims of alienation, such as grandmothers, sisters, aunts, etc. And she says they can. So if you're in that position, please contact them and they can help you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.